Let's pray. Father, we come in the name of Jesus to give you honor and glory and praise, Lord God, to say thank you, Father. Lord God, to just let you know how much we love you and adore you and appreciate, Lord God, all your goodness, all your grace, all your love, all your mercy, Father. We give you all the praise, all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I was trying to figure out, you know, well, where are we going to start? So I decided we're going to start with the assignment. Amen. How many people were able either to listen or to watch the message February the 4th? Okay. Well, that's most of you. I still encourage all of you who did not listen or watch it to do so. It'll be a blessing to you. Those of you who did watch or listen, let's just take just about a few minutes. Tell me what you heard. Lift your hands. Okay, yes, ma'am. Thank you. Give me your name. Just your first name.
I'm Sheila.
Sheila. Okay, Sheila. That's very good. Very good. Very good. Yes, you watch. Yes, ma'am. Give me your name.
Marguerite.
Marguerite. Okay. So Sheila Marguerite. Uh-huh.
Yes, ma'am. Praying in tongues
help with
synchronizing.
Synchronizing the timing of God. Okay. Anybody? I got my notes here. I got my notes. I'm checking you. Yes. Okay. I'm coming up, Miss Lynette.
He said that God is the God of timing.
God of timing and not time. One of the things that has really, really blessed me, you know, when Apostle said one, I don't know if it was a Sunday or Wednesday, but, you know, in one of the messages, he said, there are no calendars and there are no clocks in heaven. Right. Amen. So when God says something to you, it is God's intention to do it. Right. Amen. But he's not going to do it by your calendar and he's not going to do it by your clock. But he's going to do it. Amen. Yes, ma'am.
Praying in tongues opens the scripture to you from a divine perspective.
From a divine. Go ahead.
Rather than an intellectual standpoint.
Amen. Amen. Praying in the spirit opens the scriptures. And, you know, he was going on, he was explaining. When you think about... you know, from an intellectual, we're thinking about the senses, right? You know, what I could see, what I could feel, what I could taste, what I could touch. But when you pray in the spirit, it provides you with the opportunity to understand the scriptures from God's point of view. Amen? Yes, sir.
He said, your situation, every situation has a mystery to it, has a secret to it, a rhythm, and a timing to it.
Yes. Every situation, every, you heard that? Every situation. Yes, ma'am. Name first.
Excuse me. My name is Money.
Money, okay.
But she mentioned time.
I like the name.
He gave brief descriptions of the two Greek translations of
right.
Timing.
Uh-huh.
Chronos, I think.
Uh-huh.
Kairos.
Okay.
And Chronos was in relation to dates and time.
Right.
And Kairos dealt more with... See if I can remember. I didn't write it down.
Okay.
Opportune moments.
Good. You got it. You got it. Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah. The right or the opportune moment. And then supreme moment. Amen. Girl, yes, indeed. Anybody else? Okay. Somebody just give me, what was the topic? Oh, yes, ma'am. Okay. Over here in the back. That's okay. That's okay. Okay, wait, give me your name.
Oh, Debbie.
Okay, Debbie.
Yeah, mystery, secret, rhythm, and time.
Okay, mysteries.
In the spirit
realm. Right, in the spirit realm. Mysteries, mm-hmm. Secrets, rhythms, and timing in the spirit realm. You know, and the whole message was just, you know, focused on helping us to understand the importance of praying in the spirit. What I've been trying to help you and myself, because believe it or not, I'm learning in all of this. Where we are now, this time, as and I'm not talking about the calendar time. I'm not talking about the clock time. I'm talking about this time with God. We need to know how. Let's see, to tap into the mind of God. We need to know that. We need to get God's thoughts on situations and circumstances that we are dealing with. We need to be in a position to receive revelation, to receive discernment, you know, to know. I mean, you know, you standing here and you listening to what they're saying, but then somehow on the inside of you, you're beginning, no, you know. I tell them all the time, I used to tell my kids, for some reason, a lie, oh my God. I can pick up on a lie just like that. It just, you know, it's like a light. It's like, oh, they're not telling the truth. They're not telling the truth. You know, and, well, I don't do anything with it a lot of time. I just say, they're not telling the truth. I'm going about my business. You know, depending on the situation and the circumstance. My kids, they'll never get by with it. I'll say, you're not telling the truth. But, you know, on the job, I might let it get by. These are just a couple of the things. Okay, anybody else, by the way? Anybody else? Online students, you will be asked whether or not you had the opportunity to listen or watch the message, and you will have questions on your quiz about it. So you're not forgotten. Amen? Okay. Couple of things, and these may be some of the ones that you've already said. And he gave us scriptures for most of these, those of you who watched it. Praying in tongues will deepen your relationship with God. Amen. Praying in tongues. Praying in the spirit. Deepen your relationship and fellowship with God. And he talked about, I think it was Job 22:21, acquaint yourself with God. Praying in tongues will give you access to revelation. And I'll put in parentheses knowledge. That's what we're talking about. Revelation knowledge. And then he referred to 1 Corinthians 2. It will give you access. You know, when you pray in the spirit, it gives you access to revelation, to mysteries, to secrets. Praying in the spirit causes your spirit, there we go, to tap into the mind of God, as we've already heard. Praying in tongues opens the scriptures to you from a divine perspective, which we already had. God's plans are timing dependent. It's dependent on God's timing, his plans for you. You know, we always quote Jeremiah 29:11, I know the thoughts and the plans that I have for you, but it's all dependent on God's timing. One of the scriptures, you know, it refers to, and when the fullness of time was come. Right. Everything that God has promised you and me, there has to be a fullness of time. It's God's timing. Amen? We talked about the chronos and the kairos. Never forget, how deep you go with God will determine how high you will go in life. Ask God for revelation. Now, this one was really, really important, you know, to me. I can't explain it, but I want you to think about situations and circumstances that you're dealing with in your personal lives. God's got the answer, okay? He's got the answer for every situation, for every circumstance that any of us are dealing with. But if we go to him and ask him, and I had never heard Apostle put it this way, to give me a revelation of the secret of this mystery. Amen? Amen. You know, God, and you know, whatever it is that you're dealing with, this, you know, you're not going to say of this mystery, you're going to say of the mystery of my healing. You know, if you're standing and you're believing God for healing, let's say for high blood pressure, and the doctor has tried this medicine, he's tried that medicine, and you taking the medicine and you're still having problems. Well, there's something there. There's something that's blocking you from receiving. You're standing on the word. You know that with Jesus' stripes, we are healed. You've got a revelation that he took all my sicknesses and all my diseases. You know this, and it's still not happening. Well, that's the time that you pray in the spirit. And what you want to do is ask God to give you a revelation of the secret of this mystery. Amen. And just stay with it. Just stay with it. And he's going to begin to answer us. I think a lot of times the only reason we haven't, I guess, understood the answer is because we've got some things that's blocking us. Okay? And what we're going to find out, I don't know if we're going to be able to do it tonight, but we'll try. Talking about prayer obstacles. You remember last week we were talking about obstacles to our breakthrough. And, I got just overwhelmed because of when we got down to distractions. And, on your way home, and, some of you are ministers here, you always think about 10, 15 things that you could have said. But one of the examples, first of all, I told you, I said, Satan's been around a long time. He knows when God is ready to just bless his people. Amen. And, we are on the verge of great supernatural happenings in the body of Christ right now. And Satan knows it. And so what he's trying to do, he's trying to distract us. He'll come up with all kind of things. And one of the examples that came to me on my way home was when my son was younger and he played baseball. Remember how all the team members on the opposing team, when they get up to bat and they go, bada, 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 trying to distract them. Amen. Trying to distract them because they don't want them to concentrate on making connection with the ball. Amen. And that's what Satan does to us. We're standing and we're believing God. We've got the word. And he will come with all kinds of things. I'll just use this as an example. Years ago, before I became a member of Word of Life Christian Center, I had been coming here. I came here so long, y'all, for a Bible study. And I think it was some Sunday services. People thought I was a member already. I was still at my old church, but they thought I was a member. So, this thing was getting strong on me. You're supposed to be there. You're supposed to be there. And I had made up my mind. I said, okay, I'm going to go to church New Year's Eve. And if the Lord speaks to me, then I'm going to move. Okay. I had everything in place, And my son got sick. And usually at that time, my husband, he would be home on New Year's Eve and my son could be with him. He was nowhere to be found. I don't even know where my daughter was that night. And it's like, what is going on? Well, you see, he was trying to do everything he could to distract me, to keep me from doing what I felt that God was leading me to do at that moment. Amen. But you see, he thought he had me. I tricked him because I think that Sunday was going to be like the first Sunday. Now, a good Baptist never miss Communion Sunday. No. Never, never. You don't miss a Communion Sunday when you're a good Baptist. Well, that Sunday I decided, okay, this is what happened. I couldn't go. So I am going to go on my Communion Sunday to visit Word of Life Christian Center. Well, it's history, amen? It's history because the word went forth. You know how you're sitting there and you're looking for your word. You're looking for your word. You're waiting for your word. And I can't tell you what he said that Sunday, but I knew it was my time, amen? That the fullness of time had come for me to make that decision. And I went ahead and I moved out, and I cannot begin to explain to you all that God has been able to do in my life as a result of me trusting God and moving out. See, I had heard this message, and the message was the reward of obedience. And the message had come like 7 months before that. But I knew, all the time, God was just leading me there, and he was just leading me there. But distractions came. And that's the way it is, for all of us. I think about you second-year students. You're believing God You don't know what God is going to say to you when you graduate. And, you know, sometimes you're just wondering, you know, okay, Lord, where you want me to go? What you want me to do? Do not allow the enemy to distract you. When God speaks to you, stay with what God is telling you. Just stay with it. Stay with it. Amen? Amen. Let's see if it was anything else. We talked about asking God for the revelation of the secret of the mystery. He also said that, you know, it's not going to be on the surface. You know, you gotta dig for it. Amen? The Holy Spirit is in charge of all mysteries, secrets, rhythms, and timings. I think somebody said that. Amen? All right. Scriptures just for you to hold on. Oh, scriptures for you to hold on to regarding this was 1 Corinthians 14:2, Matthew's 13 and 11. Oh, that was a question that I received. I hope you're watching. But he also said in the message on February 4th, praying in tongues helps to develop our prayer language. Helps us to pray through. Amen? So just keep on praying. Just keep on praying. Don't worry about how it sounds. Just keep praying. Amen? Amen. All right. So I've touched on the assignment. I've touched on the distractions, and that was the end of chapter 5. So tonight we're going to begin chapter 6, prayer obstacles. We ended with obstacles to a breakthrough, and now we're going to obstacles to our prayers. Our author says that we need to remember that the Lord delights in answering the prayers of his people. His word teaches that if we ask according to his will, then he hears and answers. If our prayers are not being answered in the way that we expect, then we must ask the Holy Spirit to help us find out what the problem is and what is blocking the answer to our prayer. Turn to 1 John chapter 5. Now, not all of these scriptures are going to be in your book. As I was reading this, you know, scriptures just came up, and I said, I'll share it. Because actually, your author is referring to a scripture here when he's saying that if we ask according to his will, then he hears us. Okay, that's found in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Okay, ready? I want everybody to read it. Ready? Let's read. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Amen? According to his will. And we know that his will is his word. Amen? If we got the word, we got the will. What prevents our prayers from being answered? We'll go ahead and we'll name the four things that he talks about. And then he goes into more detail. The first one is you do not ask or you ask for the wrong thing. Isn't that something? You know, that's an obstacle. I mean, if you don't know what you're asking for, I think that happened to me. I told y'all that. I said, well, maybe I was praying for the wrong thing. I don't know. Amen. Number two. Now, amen. He says spousal abuse is an obstacle to your prayer. And then he'll go ahead and he'll explain it. It's not as bad as it sounds, but I mean, you know, that's what he said. Number three, skepticism or doubt. And then number four, unforgiveness. And I think we all knew that one. Most of us knew that, you know, if we have unforgiveness in our hearts, it's going to be an obstacle to our prayer. So then we begin with, you do not ask, or you ask for the wrong thing. Let's turn over to James chapter 4. Now, he's using a different translation. I just went to the King James Version. So in James chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 2 and 3. Verse 2, James chapter 4, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Verse 3, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Amen. So we don't have it because either we're not asking or we're asking for the wrong things. Many people think God is too busy to hear us. Others believe their petitions and their needs are too insignificant. Some think that small matters do not interest God, that the things that they are asking for are too big for God to answer them. Now, what is too big for God to answer, huh? You know, the Bible says, is anything too hard? You know, or is anything too big? Nothing's too big, and believe it or not, nothing's too small. Amen? God wants to grant the desires of your heart. Some people ask God for things that seem to be in line with his word, but the intention of their heart is to satisfy some fleshly desire. Mm-hmm. Their selfish desires or intentions are for self-gratification and not to build up the kingdom of heaven or to bless others. Now, this is crucial. This is really, really crucial. Because I found myself asking myself, you know, well, why am I asking for that? You know, why do I want that? Why am I seeking that? You know, and you know, you got to ask yourself, is it to build up the kingdom of heaven or is it to bless others? You know, we believe in prosperity. We all believe in prosperity. But, you know, you got to stop and ask yourself, well, why you want it? I mean, this is just a rhetorical question, you know, to get you to stop and think, why do you want it? I want to be healed. Why you want to be healed? Amen. Now, we are taught, turn over to Jeremiah 33. And this is a good one just to keep in mind about what you're asking for and why you're asking it. I want you to remember words like intentions of the heart. You know, what is the intention of your heart? Are you asking to help to build up the kingdom of heaven? Are you asking to be a blessing to others? In Jeremiah 33, look at verse 9. Jeremiah 33, verse 9. And it shall be to me. Well, let's see. Hold on. How far I want to go. Okay, let's go up to verse 7. And I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return and will build them as at the first. And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity whereby they have sinned against me. And I will pardon all their iniquities whereby they have sinned and whereby they have transgressed against me. And verse 9. And it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise, and an honor before all the nations of the earth, which shall hear all the good that I do unto them, and they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and for all the prosperity that I procure unto it. And so what God is saying, you know, I've been so good to Judah and I've been so good to Israel, you know, and when he blesses us, that's why he blessed us. He wants the world to see I'm a good God. Amen. I care about my family. I take care of my family. When my family gets sick, I heal them. Amen. When they have lack, I provide financial means to them. When they are confused, I help to give them comfort and peace and instruction. You know, so we are asking these things because we want to glorify God. We want the world to see that this God that we serve, he is real, he is good, he is kind, and he takes care of us. Amen? So that's, you know, that's what the author is saying here. It's not just, I don't want to be prosperous just to say that I'm prosperous and I got plenty of money. I want to be prosperous because I want the world to see that God can prosper his children. I want to be healed because I want them to see, you know, that God is a healer. Amen. I would prefer to walk in divine health, but just in case, you know, just in case something happened here, you know, God is a healer. Amen. Their petitions are intended to please, you know, these people who are asking for selfish gratification. Their petitions are intended to please and satisfy personal carnal desires, such as jealousy. You know, I remember my grandma and them used to talk about keeping up with the Joneses. Amen. You know, yeah, I want a new car to keep up with the Joneses. No, that's not why you want a new car. First of all, you want a new car so that you can go to church and you can go to functions that God has ordained for you to participate in and not have to worry about breaking down. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why you want a new car. You bring glory and honor to God. Amen. Let's see. And not for carnal desires such as jealousy, personal glory, and satisfaction. Oh, my. Competition. Oh, my. And envy. Look at that. You know, and there's some prayers. I mean, sometimes we don't even realize that that's our reason. So, you know, you just, as we go through this lesson, just study and ask yourself these questions. Their motivation, let's see, let me turn the page here. Their motivation is wrong. That's all they said. Their motivation is wrong. So we want to have the right motives when we pray. We want to ask, and we want to ask for the right things with the right motives. Otherwise, if you're not, then it's becoming an obstacle to your prayer. And so you're wondering, you know, well, why is not happening? Why is not happening? Well, you know, check up. And the Holy Spirit, he'll reveal it to you if you ask him. You know, if you ask him, he'll reveal it to you. First, we should ask to establish kingdom blessings, then your family, and then for yourself, according to our author. Amen? All right. Then he goes on to spousal abuse, number 2. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. Now, I have it written down, so I'm cheating. 1 Peter chapter 3. Like I said, he uses a different translation. You know, if you want to look in your book, that's fine with me. But it's going to be different from what's in the, a little different than what's in the King James. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of their wives. Now, we know that that word conversation don't mean just talk. It means your lifestyle, your manner of living. You know, they'll see how you do things, and that will win them over. Amen? And then when we go down to verse 7, 1 Peter 3, likewise ye husbands. See, y'all guys thought y'all were getting away with something, huh? Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life. Look at that. That your prayers be not hindered. Amen. I mean, if you don't do this, you know, this is what can hinder your prayers. Amen. This is what can hinder your prayers. He goes on, our author says, he says that Paul, Apostle Paul, taught that women should submit to their husbands. And if she does not, it is considered a form of rebellion against, not the man, against God. Amen? Because this is instituted by God. And when you're not doing what the word says to do, you know, God takes this personally. In other words, that's what it's saying. Now, I mean, and we all know some situations where, you know, maybe the woman should not submit, you know, because they got some men, you know, who take this to the nth degree. Amen, amen. But I'll leave it alone. I'll leave it alone. I mean, you know, he wants you to, come on, let's go rob a bank. No. First of all, it's not in line with the word of God. It's not the will of God for me to do that, you know. And then he'll be the first one to throw up in your face. Well, I thought you were a Christian. Don't the Bible say do this? Don't the Bible say do that? You know, no. And then, see, men, I keep saying, y'all think y'all getting off. He says, if the husband mistreats his wife and refuse to love her as she needs to be loved. Now, how is that? Amen. I can't answer that one. As she needs to be loved, and perhaps go as far as to physically, verbally, or emotionally abuse her, it is considered a form of disobedience to God and his word. So the man disobeys and the woman rebels. Isn't that something? If the woman does not submit, she's in rebellion. But if the man does not love the wife, amen, as the Bible has instructed, then it is considered disobedience to God and his word. Then the author says their prayers will be considered a stench, meaning it stink, and will not be heard. Amen. Now this is just an outline. When y'all read this chapter for yourself, I'm telling you, it's gonna shake you a little bit. It's gonna shake you. Amen. So that was number one. You do not ask, or you ask for the wrong thing, and spousal abuse. Let's see how much time we got. 8 minutes. Okay. All right. We'll start with number three. But he goes into skepticism and doubt, you know, a whole lot. And he gave us the definition for the Greek word, and all I could see in here was Oreo at the end. But it's A-P-O-R-E-O. And that's the App Oreo. Yeah, that sounds good, App Oreo. And that's the word for doubt. And listen at this definition. Which means to be without direction, without resources, in a bind, perplexed, in doubt, confused, in hopelessness, anxious, and unsteady regarding the path that one should take. Amen. I mean, that's a heavy, heavy duty definition there. And I mean, I can say I've been in some of these sometime. I've been confused. Yeah, I've been perplexed. Yeah, I must admit I've been in doubt. Amen. One thing that God teaches us is that doubt kills and destroys all hope of ever receiving anything from God. Amen. It causes confusion and hesitation. And then the author goes on and he begins to take our definition and he begins to talk about each one of them. Without direction. This means to be insecure as to where we're going or which way to take when we're faced with various alternatives. Amen? You got this situation. Which way do I go? And, you know, if you're not, if you don't know how to pray, then you're not going to know which way to go. Amen. You are going to be without direction, without resources. A person who doubts will feel that he or she does not have the necessary resources to finish what he or she started. Amen. That's what doubt does. That's a part of it. Perplexed. A person who finds himself in a state of shock has no idea which way to turn. They're perplexed. Amen. This is a part of doubt, which is an obstacle. See, you understand what I'm saying? All of this is a part of an obstacle to your prayer. If you're experiencing this, you know, it's going to stop you from praying and praying effectively. Amen. Amen. Confused. A confused person has many thoughts and is unable to make the right decision because he or she is unclear as to what to do. And then hesitate. He says this word represents the worst aspect of doubt. Now listen to this. Well, y'all look it in your book. The miracle is near. And then he says it arrives. Not only is it near, but then it arrives. But because of a hesitant attitude, he or she is unable to receive the answer to prayer because they begin to wonder if perhaps it could be something else instead. Amen? I mean, you know, so, you know, we need to pray. And when we pray, especially in the spirit, you remember you're building yourself up, Jude 20, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, your spirit man is becoming stronger. And your spirit man, when he or she is strong, then can help you to overcome, you know, all of these aspects of doubt. Because what we want to do, we want to go back to 1 John 5 and 14. And this is the confidence, amen, that we have in him. You're not going to have the confidence and the doubt. You can't have confidence and doubt. You know, you're going to either doubt or you're going to have confidence. And our aim is to have confidence in God. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. That's it for tonight. I do encourage you to read chapter 6. It's a short chapter, but it's so much for you to think about. Just so much for you to think about. Amen? Amen. Y'all be blessed.